Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the Outdoor Adventure Series podcast. This is your host, Howard Fox. The Outdoor Adventure Series celebrates individuals and families, businesses, and organizations that seek out and promote the exploration and enjoyment of the great outdoors. Our guest today is Retha Charette. Retha is a professional pedestrian, an adventure travel writer, and an adventure manager. Now, she is really passionate about working with women who just want to get outside, build their hiking skills, and to push themselves. And she's especially passionate, and I can attest to this because I've seen some of the places she's hiked. She likes to go hiking on these big mountains and long trails. And so, Retha, I think I'm going to leave it to you to kind of explain that in a little more detail, but it's a pleasure to have you on the Outdoor Adventure Series podcast, and a Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Fantastic. And for our listeners, and in my usual spirit of full disclosure, I had the pleasure of meeting Retha last year at the Outdoor Writers Association of America, their annual conference in Jay Peak Resort. And I have to say, Retha, I was very grateful that you actually accompanied me on one of my, I think was a hike on a very large hill from the tent where we had our meals up to where we had the courses and the lessons. And but that for somebody like me, that was a lot of hiking. But you just got off the Appalachian Trail, so that was probably a hop, skip, and a jump for you.
Hey, don't discount yourself. As long as you're out there in nature, it is a hike. I don't care how long you're out there. I don't care how fast you hike. It doesn't matter. It just matters that you're out there.
I appreciate that. I really do. Well, listen, before we get into, and folks, this is we could actually spend all day having a conversation with Retha, but what I would love is if we could, Retha, just start off a little bit about your background and then, you know, how you started to really develop this passion and a business around outdoor adventure and hiking and, you know, working with women who, you know, helping them get outside and do the things you do.
So I've been a Girl Scout since I was 5. So that really taught me how to smash some stereotypes and get outdoors. I was not your doing crafts and selling cookies Girl Scout. Granted, I sold a lot of cookies, but I was more about getting outside, going camping, going hiking kind of Girl Scout. So my passion started there, and I've always been a bit of an outdoorsy kind of gal. But when I was going through to my divorce, I think it was in 2015. I don't know. I've lost track of time. But I signed up on a whim to climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, my. That's a heck of a whim, though.
Yeah, I'm known for doing some pretty ridiculous things. My partner, Will, can attest to that. I always have some crazy scheme up my sleeve. So I decided to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, and through complete serendipity, I met my adventure friend, Laura. She was my tent mate on that trek. And she, in turn, met my current, one of my supervisors now for the company I work for, Woe Travel, in line when she was waiting to get her visa in Tanzania. Allison told Laura all about what we were doing and what she was doing with Woe. And before we left Tanzania, after we both successfully summited Kilimanjaro, we decided to go on one of Woe's adventures to Peru to hike the Salton Tay Trek and go to Machu Picchu the following year.
Wow, that's incredibly amazing. Now, growing up, was your family as active as you were? I mean, by the way, where did you grow up?
Grew up in Eastern Massachusetts.
Eastern Massachusetts. Is that, now, I guess I should know my geography. It's been many years since I've been in high school. So is that like the Cape Cod area of Massachusetts?
I grew up right off of Cape Cod. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Now, had you always with the Girl Scouts, and how about with family? Were they active as well?
I mean, we always went on like camping trips during the summer, but my family's not a super active family. I mean, we like to go and see fun things and go fun places, but not like I do.
Okay. Okay. So back to that event in the 2000s with the husband, as what my friend likes to say, not husband.
Oh, I like that.
But husband. feel free to use that. Had you done any type of long range, you know, strenuous hiking before that?
And oh God, no, no. That's why this whole thing was a giant whim.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know how high Kilimanjaro was when I signed up to climb it.
Oh boy. How did you prepare for Kilimanjaro then?
Lots of training. I live in Vermont now.
Yeah.
And I did Kilimanjaro in March. So I was training over the winter. So one of the local ski resorts at the time, I could actually afford then, I can't now, to be a part of their gym. And they had a pool and they had spin classes and yoga classes and all the equipment. So I would just go like 3 times a week and I would swim for a little while, or I would row, or I'd run, or I'd do a spin class. I did all the things. I was in really good shape before I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Okay. And when you got into, as you were getting into shape, how did you begin to prepare? Like, first of all, for somebody like me, if I don't have a set of hiking poles and a 3-liter bladder, I'm not going anywhere, because I need the poles and I need that water. But
that's hiking should have poles and a bladder, in okay. my personal opinion. Well, at least the water. Some people don't like bladders.
Okay. How did you figure out what you needed to take? Because I could imagine some people, I mean, I was doing some reading and I do a little research before these podcasts, by the way. There's a whole culture of folks out there that describe their experiences on the Appalachian Trail. And so I can imagine Kilimanjaro. How do you prepare equipment wise for going, following through on this whim of yours?
Well, I'd been a hiker before that, so I had a lot of the hiking gear already. I really didn't need to buy too many things. I needed a few more warm weather items that I was able to get at a local outdoor store. But I had most of my stuff already. But since then, I have on my website, romainyanny.com, it's all about like adventure travel from the everyday to the epic. All the trips that I've been on, I create really comprehensive packing lists for people that are getting into these things that don't have the experience to help them prepare.
Okay. Well, that's actually very helpful. And even I am going to go out and visit those pages as well, because I have to admit, I like hiking. I went hiking this past, actually it was Monday, it was earlier this week. I'm still paying for it, by the way. But it was a lot of up and down rocks and stuff. And and I have my camera with me because I love photography. And so you go on like a Kilimanjaro. Is this a hike where you can kind of stop and just relax, look at the scenery, take some pictures, and then go on? Or you constantly have to have your wits about you?
For Kilimanjaro, it's not a non-technical climb. It's actually only one of the 7 summits that is a non-technical climb. So they have a phrase on Kilimanjaro. It's in Swahili. It's pole pole, which means slowly, slowly. You don't run up Kilimanjaro as a hiker. You take very slow steps, because the higher you get, the less oxygen there is in the air. Okay. And you need to make sure that you're getting that oxygen.
Oh, definitely that. Well, I actually am thinking maybe I should look at Kilimanjaro once I get into a little better shape there.
Do it.
I know.
I have a really bad influence. So anytime you need someone to tell you to hike something, you call me and I will convince you to do it.
I knew it was a good thing when I met you on that walk back up there. I said, this is a woman I need to get to know. So that's perfect. So you went on this whim. What did you learn about yourself coming off of that adventure?
I was stronger than I thought I was. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. I trained really hard, because the thing with altitude is that it doesn't care how hard you've trained, doesn't care how many times you've been to altitude, doesn't care where you're from, what you look like, it doesn't matter. Some days you have good days and some days you have bad days. And I'll tell you that almost every day on that trip, I threw up on that mountain.
Oh gosh.
And I did not feel great most of my climb, but I was still I was being monitored by the team that I was with, and I was okay. But I learned that climbing and hiking is all about your mental attitude and how you can tell yourself to keep going, even when your body's like, nah, we're done.
Okay. Okay. That's very good to know. And, you know, I'm thinking the altitude, and I'm not a altitude kind of guy. I mean, I've been up to Pikes Peak, and I drove up to Pikes Peak, and I just remember I was not a happy camper that evening when I got back down. It's just like, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's a good idea.
Yeah. So you came back from Kilimanjaro. How did you then take this experience and begin to build this new career around this love and passion for the outdoor adventure and the hiking?
That actually didn't start until a couple of years later. So like I said, my friend Laura and I signed up to do a trip to Peru to hike the Silk and Tate Trek to Machu Picchu, which is like the Inca Trek alternative. But for everyone listening, it's way better and way more scenic, and there's less people, so you should do it instead.
Okay. Good to know.
Insider tip there. And about a year later, they hired me to the company, Woe Travel, hired me to be one of their trip leaders. And it was a complete thrill that they did. And right before I led my first trip for them, I went and I did a trip with that same company as a client. I did Everest Base Camp. And both of the co-founders of the company were there. And I met them in person for the first time. And I was in Nepal, sitting with one of the co-founders, Danielle, at a tea house at the end of the day. And I was talking about being a writer and wanting to, you know, take my adventures and share it with people and, you know, help others get outside. And I was like, yeah, I've always really wanted to start a blog, but I'm really nervous about like publishing my stuff and people being really judgy about it, which they still are. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. People are just judgy. Right. And she looked at me and said, you should do it. And so I got home and I did.
I love it.
And
I love it.
From there, it's just kind of snowballed. And I've been lucky enough to, through that, go on many different adventures, as well as working for Woe. And through that women's travel community, I met this amazing woman named Kelly Lewis, and she's kind of a big deal. You are, Kelly. And she she's super humble and absolutely lovely, but she does a lot of stuff in the travel sphere. She does an annual women's conference called Women's Travel Fest, and I met her there for the first time. And it just so happened that the following year we were on the same ship going down to Antarctica. And we got to talking and she said, hey, I'm, you know, hiring for my travel company. Do you think Alice and Danielle would be cool with you working for me too? And I said, without even asking them, I knew they would be, because they are all about women supporting women, which is why I love working for them. And it's not about being competitive. It's about, you know, being up and then reaching your hand down and pulling the next woman up behind you. And so I started working with Kelly for her travel company, Damesley. And we're more luxury, we're less hiking. And we just go all over the world. We actually have a really exciting trip coming up in 2023 to Kenya. And I love a good safari. So I'm hoping that I get put on that trip as the leader.
Hey, if you want a 61-year-old guy to hide in your bag, you just let me know, okay? I'm thinking, all those passport stamps, how wonderful.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got a new passport right before the pandemic hit, so my passport is really empty right now.
Oh, boy. Well, you get to mount your old one up on the wall and just kind of look at it. And this, the adventures and the experiences. Something I'm curious about, because you now have gotten involved with Woe and in Damesley. You're involved with taking, you know, women out. And I would imagine they're at the full gamut of, you know, being prepared. You know, perhaps some are young, some are a little older, some are like totally in shape, perhaps some are not. What has been some of your experiences working and being there to support these women on their, to get the best possible experience out of this adventure that they're on, being that you're employed by Woe or Damesley. What's been your perception of their experience and the changes that have gone on in their lives?
I mean, when you sign up, especially for a Woe adventure, because it is so physically demanding, you're doing a lot of training beforehand. And, you know, you see so many different women from so many different backgrounds and so many different ages. We don't have like a stereotypical cookie cutter client that comes on our trips. We get all kinds of people. And we even have a specific division that my friend Krista, who is a plus size hiker, because it's her brainchild. We call it Woe Plus, and we do trips specifically for plus size women. And at the time, we didn't have any plus size gals. And that's my title for Woe Travel. I'm a gal. I'm a group adventure leader. Sure. And I was, because I was friends with Krista, and this was her brainchild, I got to go on our very first plus size trip as the gal. And I went with 20 plus size women, and we climbed Kilimanjaro. And I'm not a plus size person. I've never been a plus size person. So I do not know what it's like to live in a plus size body and being around these amazing powerhouse women and getting to hear their stories and seeing their perspective on life. This climb not changed their lives because they were out there, they were taking up space, and they were showing that plus size people can climb mountains. They can go hiking. It's not like a super fit person's world. Anyone can get out on the trails. And that's something that I believe, and that's something that Woe believes very passionately. And sorry, I'm getting a little choked up because it's a really...
No, I think it's important.
It's really close to my heart. And it really changed the way that I see the outdoors and the way that I try and help make a safe space for all people in the outdoors, because trails are for everyone, everybody, everywhere.
So I have an ask for you, Reetha, and if you've listened to any of my other episodes, I'm a very opportunistic podcast host, but I would love to have Krista on my podcast and talk about what it's like, you know, from a plus size perspective, because I'm a plus size kind of guy as well. I mean, I should weigh a lot less. I mean, I have a little bit of the midsection. But one thing I've noticed, and by the way, I live literally right above an REI, which can be a dangerous place.
Oh, it can be a dangerous place.
Oh, my God.
I can't even go in it if I don't need anything.
Oh, my God. However, there is not one piece of clothing except for socks, shoes, and maybe a hat and a glove that I can wear in REI, which means in my mind, they don't cater to people my size. You know, 6'1", 285 pounds. Okay. But they don't cater to me. And I'm wondering, what I love about this experience that you've just described is this is a company that, you know, through your friend Krista, is really catering to the plus size traveler, hiker, athlete. And I'm curious of how difficult it is to outfit yourself to get ready to go on a trip like in Kilimanjaro or the Inca Trail.
It was definitely a challenge. And a lot of the women that were on the trip were already in the hiking space. So they really helped the entire group find gear. So we had a Facebook group, and if one person found something that worked for them, they told everyone and they all had it. And through that hike, we as Woe have hired two amazing plus size gals. Their names are Kathy and Andrea. And Andrea and I just worked together to make a really great comprehensive packing list on the Woe website for our two plus size adventures that we have coming up in 2022. It took a long time, and it took a lot of resources to put those together. But slowly, the outdoor industry is realizing that plus size people are out there and they need gear and they want to be in the space. I've always loved, this is like a shameless plug, and I do not work for this company, but I've always loved Great Grief backpacks, because as a smaller person, they make backpacks that fit my frame. This past I believe it was March. They are the first ever backpacking company that launched an exclusive plus size backpacking line. And I absolutely loved that they saw the need for that. They saw that people were out there that weren't able to find backpacks that fit them. And then they did it. And that's just absolutely spectacular. So if you are a bigger person and you need a backpack, go to the Gregory Packs website. They have backpacks that will fit you. And slowly REI is starting to carry those backpacks.
I have to share with you. So when I went to REI last year, so a year ago, July, when I moved from Chicago to Las Vegas, I bought a new pack with a bladder. And I quickly realized I could barely get the waist strap around me. And so this year...
What company made that backpack for you?
You know, I think it was Osprey.
Okay, you know, if you contact Osprey, they will send you a hip extender for that backpack.
You know,
for free.
I'm going to do that. Thank you for that. This is
You're
perfect.
Welcome.
But, and there's a big but here, this year I went back down to the REI because, you know, I just walked down the stairs. I got a Gregory backpack and I love it. And I can now have my backpack, my bladder. There's a photography site called Peak Design. They have accessories for folks with cameras. So you can have a camera that you can literally strap to the shoulder part of the harness on your backpack, which I love. Mm-hmm. And so it helps me with my photography and I can do the hiking. It's not one versus another, but yeah, I'd heard about Gregory. And now that you've mentioned it, now it's like, you know, I'm going to reach out to these guys and see if they'd like to come on the podcast. So thank you, Reetha. Not only have you been a fantastic guest so far, but you have been gracious with these insights so far. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Happy to help.
So let's talk a little bit about the Appalachian Trail.
Just a little hike they did.
Just a little hike. Now, I had heard of the Appalachian Trail many years ago, and I finally learned more about it from Bill Bryson. Had his book A Walk in the
Woods.
That's
where everyone has heard about it.
Yes.
Everyone has heard about it. Bill Bryson didn't hike the whole trail. I'm just saying.
I know that. He and his friend, I forget what the friend's name was. They kind of stopped, and I actually hiked a mile on the Appalachian Trail because I lived in Virginia for a little while, so it was up in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. So I think that was near the trail.
I loved Harpers Ferry. The trail goes directly through Harpers Ferry.
Yeah, it was a cool area. And so I can say I walked on the Appalachian Trail. This hike for our listeners, Reetha, how long is this hike?
In 2021, it was 2,193.1 miles. I think it's a couple miles longer this year.
Okay, that's a lot of miles. Was this a whim like Kilimanjaro? I mean, how did this come on your radar? Like, I want to do this.
Well, it's been on my kind of bucket list for a really long time. I grew up in New England and now in Vermont, I live 10 minutes from the Appalachian Trail.
Oh boy.
But in 2020, when COVID kind of came and the world stopped, everything for like my career stopped. You know, my blog at the time was mainly focused on traveling, adventure travel. No one was doing that. So my readership, including most of my finances plummeted. And then I wasn't leading trips. I had a ton of trips lined up for 2020. And I decided with my friend Amy, which I was able to pick up a job in town. So I was lucky to have a job throughout the summer of 2020. And my friend Amy did as well. And we decided to hike the Long Trail. Now, the Long Trail is the oldest long distance hiking trail in the US. At the time, it was 273 miles. It goes from Massachusetts through Vermont and ends at the Canadian border. So we did that in what's called a section hike. So we didn't go do it all at once. We did it on weekends. So we would usually hike for 2 or 3 days at a time. And then at the end, the further north we get, because we live in southern Vermont, get harder and harder to get that far north. So we did a whole week towards the end. And I was sold on just like being out in the woods a ton. And a couple months after I finished the long trail on September 26th of 2020.
That is fantastic.
Thanks. And a couple months later, I was at home. I had been thinking about it for a while. And I said to my partner, his name is Will, what would you think if I through hiked the Appalachian Trail next year? And he's so amazing. And he didn't even hesitate. And he said, I think you should do it. So major points for Will. He's the best.
All right, Will. All right, Team Will. So as I have been learning about the AT, do I get to say the AT even though I've never hiked the full thing?
You can totally, anyone can say the AT. Yeah, it makes you, you're in the know though, if you say okay. The AT. So you're going to get major props from other hikers.
Okay, that's cool. This, if from start to finish, as I understand it, and you're going to please do correct me if I'm off some, this is like a 6-month commitment, especially if you're going to through hike it.
Yes.
Okay. So you had the blessing from your partner. I'm assuming you had, I mean, it's not everyone that can take off 6 months. And because it can be costly, not only the equipment, but the preparation, and you just have to do it. But what was it like just to be disconnected from mainstream society and with your friend to go on the 6-month adventure?
Oh, I didn't go with anyone. I did it solo.
You were solo?
Yeah, I made friends on the trail, but I started by myself.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, you're
okay.
Rise.
Wow. Okay. And how'd you feel? Well, was it easy to meet people and walk with people, or did it, you know, I can imagine some people are like, just leave me alone. Others are like, oh, thank God there's someone here I can talk to. What was that like in this adventure?
Well, I went NOBA, which is northbound. So I started in spray around Georgia. Mm-hmm. And around the time that everyone else that was hiking north did. So the first night on the trail, I was in my tent and I was at a shelter. I didn't sleep in it because there wasn't any space by the time I got there. But I was sharing that area with about 70 of my not so best friends that were also hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
So when it's called the bubble, which is like the bubble of people that are hiking. And when the bubble hits the trail, there are people everywhere. And you really need to try and hike alone early on. There is no solitude at the beginning. People that want solitude hike it southbound because they only see the bubble of people for about maybe a month and a half.
Okay.
And it's super easy to meet people because there's a ton of people. I met my friend John, his trail name is Hangry Hatter, on the first day on the trail. Unfortunately, John did not finish. He got some tendonitis in one of his feet, but he's going to be hopefully back out on the trail next year. And I told him that he had a couch to sleep on and a place to take a shower when he got to Vermont. So he Perfect. Better get back on the trail. But we met on the first day. And then one of my very, very good friends, who I actually went to go visit a couple weeks ago in Philly, I met her on day 4. And we hiked about 500 miles together. And she, for financial reasons, had to start hiking faster than I was at the time. But she finished about 2 weeks before I did and came to finish me on her way home.
Oh, wow. So, fantastic.
Yeah, it's really easy to find people to connect with, to be friends with, and just to hang out with. There was a couple that I met very early on that I didn't finish with them, but I finished within days of them and got to celebrate my summit with them up in Millinocket, Maine.
Okay. Now, you mentioned John, and he had a nickname, Hangry Hatter. And as I understand, when you hike the AT, everybody takes on a nickname. What was yours?
Yeah, everyone can, you get a trail name and you can choose it yourself, but the tradition states that you're supposed to be given the name. You don't have to accept a name that's given to you because some people just give really disgusting names and it's a little too much for me.
Okay.
And then I'm a little vulgar. I say the F word a lot in my everyday life. I'm really toning it down here for you.
Oh, but you don't have to do that.
I don't want to offend anybody. But my trail name is Pikachu,
Pikachu.
Like now, the little yellow Pokemon?
Okay. You're a little past my time, but I think I've heard of Pokemon, but Pikachu, I've heard of Pikachu before. How did you get that?
So I got it actually when I was hiking the long trail. My friend Amy gave it to me. I have a yellow down jacket and I'm just little and feisty. And so is Pikachu. But on the Appalachian Trail, it just became very prevalent that I was meant to have this nickname because on day four, I was almost hit by lightning. And Pikachu has like lightning powers. And I'm little and I'm feisty. And when I got to New Hampshire, I met this other hiker named Stash because he has a voluptuous mustache. And I introduced myself and he goes, "Oh, is your name Pikachu because you have an electric personality?" And I was like, "That is the nicest compliment that I have ever gotten." It's not, but it might be now. So lots of different reasons that I'm named Pikachu.
I love it. And what insight did you learn about yourself having been on this adventure? Because again, it's the 6 months, that's duration. It can be lonely, I would imagine. Yes, you're occasionally walking with folks, but what did you learn about yourself during this adventure?
Oh, that I can do anything. After this, I can do anything.
Okay.
I walked through thunderstorms and rain for days, like days of rain. I slept in a tent during Hurricane Elsa, which was awful. You know, I've had wet feet for days upon end. I sweated my butt off in Pennsylvania during a huge heat wave. I mean, I cried. My hike almost ended because I tripped over a rock leaving Vermont and had to take a week off. I had to take a week off multiple times for a shin splint. I mean, after all of the things that tried to stop me from finishing this, I can do anything.
Okay. That's wonderful. And I mean, it's just, I guess we never know what is within us until we're faced with that, you know, that roadblock, that hurdle. And it sounds like just a fantastic experience. Now, when I met you at the OA conference in Jay Peak, had you literally just finished that within like a week or two, or had been some time had passed?
Yes, I finished my hike on September 25th. And I believe I got to the conference within 5-6 days of finishing.
Okay. Wow. So
those were my first foray back into the real world. Like I was still a little feral when I was there. And everybody was really nice and understanding that I had just lived in the woods for 6 months.
Wow. And I just thought what a cool young lady. And it's just like this adventure. And I'm thinking, okay, I just want to make it up down this hill 3 times a day for 4 days in a row. And it's quite amazing. And when you came back and attended this conference, what were your takeaways there? Are you ready to begin or to continue if you've already begun the writing and the blogging?
Well, when you ignore your blog for 6 months, there's a lot of maintenance that you did not work on. Mm. My friend Claire had been helping me publish my journals, and most of them are up. Well, all the ones that she published are up. My last two states, I was responsible for doing, and I have not published them yet. I really need to get my act together and do that. But I'm working on maintenance for that, and I'm completely redirecting my blog, actually. I'm moving away towards general adventure travel and working more towards hiking and helping women get outside and be more confident hikers, specifically solo hikers.
Okay.
So in addition, I'm working on a book.
Okay.
So that was my purpose for going to the conference, because I don't have any experience publishing a book. And I got a lot of knowledge and just made a lot of really great connections there about making that happen.
Well, you definitely were in the right place there. Let's talk a little bit about this now focus on helping women prepare for the solo hikes. And What was the big why there of this is what I want to focus on and why?
I've always been really passionate about getting women outdoors. As a lifetime member of the Girl Scouts, women supporting women has always been a passion of mine, and being out the outdoors has always been a passion of mine. And this is just kind of a perfect marriage of the two. So I just want to see more powerful women outside. I don't remember where I was this summer, but when you're hiking, especially as a thru hiker, you are easily recognizable by your stench. We're a smelly bunch. And day hikers definitely notice when thru hikers are coming through because we smell awful. And a lot of day hikers are really interested in the thru hiker community and, you know, the idea of thru hiking in general. And I'm a big chatter. I like to talk with people and meet new people. So I definitely spent some of my days talking to some day hikers. And there's this one woman that was hiking solo who was a day hiker, and I was hiking north. She was hiking south, going up to the viewpoint that I had just come from. And she said, "Are you a thru hiker?" And I said, "Yep." She said, "Are you solo?" I was like, "Yep." She goes, "You are the fifth woman today that I have met that is a solo thru hiker." And personally, I love that she said that. But I also met a lot of women that were like, "You're by yourself. Aren't you scared?" And I try not to laugh because I see where they're coming from, but I told them, I was like, "I don't think I've ever been scared on the trail. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing in the woods going to like hurt you." And the thru hiker community is so amazing, and we look out for each other and we keep each other safe. And so the combination of seeing women out there and seeing how powerful that we are when we are out there and talking to these other women that are like, some people, "I could never do that." And my response to those women is, "You could if you tried." And a lot of people don't have the confidence to try. So my goal for 2022 is to help as many women as possible, and not necessarily a thru hike, but to get outside more, to go hiking more, and to do it by themselves. So hopefully at the beginning of February, I don't have a date yet, but I will be launching a paid exclusive membership community where it's going to be a tiered like Patreon. And sure. I'm going to give, you know, monthly live Q&As so women can come on, they can ask as many questions as they want in a safe space where there's no such thing as, you know, a stupid question or a beginner question, where everyone is supporting each other. And then publishing monthly how-to guides or videos on gear and reviews and all kinds of things that people are really need and really want, but don't really know where to find them. And then my long-term 2020 goal is to put together an 8-week course that's all online that you can, at your own pace, it doesn't have to be 8 weeks, but you can go online and you can take your time within your own home and learn all the steps that you can take to be safe, be confident, and know all the gear and the ins and outs of hiking in the hopes that you will do a multi-day backpacking trip.
That is fantastic. Now, do you have a name for this program yet, or is it still in...
It's early days.
Early days.
Okay. I do not have a name of what I'm going to call the program. The whole course is mapped out on sticky notes on my wall.
Okay. Notes are good.
Sticky notes are good. So it's all mapped out. It's all ready. And I have a lot of friends that I met on the trail or that are hikers that I'm getting lots of feedback on right now for that setup and what I'm going to offer. Okay. And then hopefully reaching out to diverse groups of women to do like Q&As within that course, giving it a perspective that I don't necessarily have as a straight white woman in the outdoors, because realizing that being a straight white woman out the outdoors is a lot of privilege, and that all women, no matter where they come from, what they look like, deserve to be in the outdoors too. And I want to make sure that the space that I'm creating is as inclusive as possible.
Fantastic. And, you know, two questions that just jumped to mind. Number one is actually more of a request. Hey, when your course is up and live, I'd love to have you come back on and let's talk about it.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so nice. Thank you.
Let's do that. Yeah. when where you're hiking now, you've had a lot of different experiences, and then your friend Krista with the plus size hikers. Any experience working with individuals in the outdoor space with disability?
Unfortunately, I do not have that experience. Okay. I wish I did. I still am part-time. I'm a nanny for a young man who has autism.
Okay.
I've been with him since he was 6 years old. Yeah, 6 years old, and I've been with him for 9 years.
Okay.
So I do have experience working with people with autism. And I've definitely, I in a former life, I was also a Girl Scout camp director and worked with girls of varying abilities, but not specifically in a hiking capacity. I wish I did.
Okay. It seems like that's a potential from my perspective as a podcaster, for some really insightful educational content to have on the show. And I don't know if you at the OWA conference, if you had a chance to meet Kelsey Rosseth. She has a spinal condition. And so she was on the podcast recently, and this whole idea around slow birding, that was Bridget Butler, is this, the idea of just getting out and even with the disabilities to enjoy nature. You know,
oh yeah. The bird Dean is my girl. We spent a lot of time together at that conference, and I love what she's doing, getting people outside, no matter their ability.
She was fantastic. In fact, she was on the podcast earlier, or the latter part of last year. So it was a wonderful experience.
Oh, I listened.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Retha, if our listeners would like to learn, well, actually, before I do that, what final aha moment or insight would you like to share with our listeners? And this could be you've lived an incredible life, and just the things you've done, it's just like, wow. And, you know, you've done a lot, seen a lot. Any final insight to go, which is, that's an offshoot of the earlier iteration of this podcast, Success Insight. But what insight to go would you like to leave with our listeners before we head out today?
Don't wait, just go and do it.
Okay. Don't wait, just go and do it. I love it.
I think if this pandemic has taught us all nothing, is that you can't wait for what you really, truly want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that in 2020 when I did the long trail, which inspired me to do the AT. And I have so many things that I want to do and see, and I'm not waiting till later or waiting till I can or waiting till I retire. There's always a reason to wait, but tomorrow's not promised. So just go and do it.
I love it. I love it. Retha, if our listeners would like to learn more about you and your work, where are the best places for them to go?
Definitely visit my blog, roamingnanny.com. I have a lot of resources on there, and it's only going to get bigger and better as I am not hiking the trail anymore. And you can also find me on Instagram, roamingnanny, at roamingnanny, and Facebook, facebook.com/roamingnanny.
Fantastic. And I know on your website, you have the guide, the beginner's guide to hiking. So we'll provide the links to it as well. And we'll provide the links to WOA and to Thames Lake. So just great opportunities and resources for, you know, women who just want to begin to explore this space, and just wonderful opportunities ahead if they decide to do that. So Retha, it's been a pleasure to have you join me in the new year on the Outdoor Adventure Series podcast. And I look forward to continuing to chat, get to know you, have a build friendship, and just to learn more about you and your adventures.
Thank you so much for having me, and Happy New Year.
Fantastic. Stay on the line. We're going to do a quick close, and then you and I can have a final chat, okay?
Yep.
All right, folks. What a wonderful episode today. I mean, well, they're all wonderful. What can I say? But Retha is just, if you had met her at the OWA conference in Jay Peak back in October, I mean, what a bundle of energy. And again, I was very grateful that she was joining me on this walk from the food tent all the way up to the hotel where we were staying, I'm thinking, I cannot do this hill. And thank God somebody's walking with me. But really, just to learn more about Reetha and her adventures and just the love of the outdoors, of hiking. And really, I mean, the story that what she learned about herself and that she can do anything, and especially her final insight to go, just do it, don't wait. And I hear that so much for the advice and insight from others who are on this Outdoor Adventure series. It's just do it, don't wait. And really just hearing her story today, I mean, it just really hits it home once more. So we hope you enjoyed our podcast episode with Reetha. Again, do check her out on roamingnanny.com and check out her free guide, the free beginner's guide to hiking. We'll provide the backlinks to it as well. And we'll also provide the backlinks to her Facebook and Instagram sites to Woe Travel, as well as to Damesley, so you can learn more about their travel offerings as well. Okay, folks, if you enjoyed today's episode, do let us know. When you visit the Outdoor Adventure Series website, you can find this episode and you can follow it. Give us a comment. Let us know what you think. You can also find us on successinsightpodcast.com. We still haven't officially disconnected the association, you know, from our parent podcast, but, you know, we'll have this episode there. Plus, on both sites, we're going to have in the show notes some photos of Reetha and her adventures, and just some really cool adventures, by the way. You can also listen to this episode on the major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and especially Spotify, where we have the Outdoor Adventure Series playlist. Okay, folks, again, go out there. Hope you're enjoying the new year. Be safe. We're still not past COVID yet, but hopefully, you know, as Reetha had alluded to, this year will allow us to get out and enjoy the great outdoors. And as she had said, just get out there and do it. Okay, so wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a phenomenal day. And we will see you on another episode of the Outdoor Adventure Series podcast. Take care now.